Tax encourages you to join them in supporting WILL.
It's 12:37. Up to an inch of snow is expected across much of central Illinois, with slightly higher amounts across west central Illinois. By this evening, the snow will have pushed off to the southeast and to southern Indiana and Kentucky. A northwest wind will pick up and bring with it much colder air tonight and tomorrow. High temperatures today will range from the upper teens across southern Wisconsin and northern Iowa to the mid-40s across southern Missouri. Lows tonight will range from the single digits above zero to the mid-20s across western Kentucky. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, cloudy, although the skies have cleared in Champaign-Urbana. The high around 25. That's where we are right now. Maybe we'll go up a degree or two before the end of the day today. The wind out of the northwest this afternoon at 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered flurries, the low 12, the wind out of the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts to around 25 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly sunny, scattered flurries in the morning, the high 20, the wind out of the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts to 25. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, the low 9, the wind out of the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday, mostly sunny, the high 28, the wind will be light and from the northeast. Sunday night through Monday, mostly cloudy, the low Sunday night 17, the high Monday 28. Monday night through Tuesday, cloudy with a chance of snow, lows in the low 20s, highs in the upper 20s. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the upper teens to 40. Skies were cloudy, but there was also some reports of light snow. At Chicago, it was 19 degrees. Bloomington Normal reported 22. Danville, 25. Decatur, 28. Effingham, 32. Carbondale, 40. Bloomington Normal, Decatur, and Effingham reported light snow. South Bend, 18. Lafayette, 24. Indianapolis, 25. Terre Haute, 27. And Evansville, 32. In Indiana, South Bend, Indianapolis, Terre Haute, and Evansville reported light snow. At noon central time at Willard Airport, cloudy skies were reported, the temperature 25, the dew point 19, the relative humidity 78%, the wind out of the northwest at 12, giving us a wind chill of 14, the barometric pressure 29.44 and falling. And at 12:40 central time, 25 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois, and the skies are mostly sunny. Illinois residents might want to brace themselves as the state's largest ever tax increase could be on the way. State Democratic leaders are formulating a plan to bring down the state's deficit and reduce the backlog of bills. It might still get tweaked, but the governor and other top Democrats say they have a framework in place. Here's Amanda Vinicky with a breakdown of what they're trying to push through in the remaining hours of the legislative session.
You may not have known it then, but when you were ringing in the new year, you may also have been ringing in an income tax increase. If it becomes law, the package concocted by Democrats leading state government will have Illinois residents pay 75% more in income taxes. It would be retroactive to the start of 2011 and remain in effect for the next 4 years. That's according to Senate President John Cullerton, who says the tentative agreement will bring Illinois back from fiscal disaster.
We are definitely looking for the long term. We're not doing a short-term fix.
Illinoisans pay a flat 3% tax on their income now. This plan would raise the rate to 5.25%. But Cullerton says the bulk of the bump could be temporary. Legislators would vote again in 4 years, just after the next gubernatorial election, if they want to keep most of it in place. Otherwise, Cullerton says the rate will fall to 3.75%.
Because maybe the economy will grow and we won't have to have a tax increase, or it doesn't have to be as great as it is right now.
The permanent portion of the hike will be used to give property tax relief in perpetuity. Cullerton says homeowners will get a $325 credit when they file their 2010 taxes. And then beginning next January and beyond, he says every homeowner will get a $325 check in the mail. He says for 80% of property taxpayers, that'll be a break. The property tax relief comes at the behest of African American legislators. Democratic Representative Will Davis chairs the Black Caucus.
We had two main requirements for that: education dollars, property tax relief, and he has met both of those requirements for us.
The money for schools will come from the wallets of smokers, who will need to shell out another dollar per pack for cigarettes. It's estimated that'll generate $377 million a year. While the proceeds will go to schools, it's still undecided how that money will be doled out, but it could help those in poorer areas. Businesses will also be on the hook, with the corporate income tax rising from 4.8% to 8.4%. That could bring in about $1 billion more each year. The increase in the personal income tax may generate more than $6 billion. All of that will be used to eliminate the deficit and pay overdue bills. Democrats plan to leverage the tax revenue to quickly borrow over $12 billion. Illinois will use it to pay its share into public employee pensions and to immediately catch up on what it owes schools, universities, social service agencies, and others. Some providers that have been waiting for months for what they're owed have had to lay off workers and cut back on services. Again, Senator Cullerton.
Just think about how we're going to be after we pass this. We would have all our bills, all those people that are owed money, $8 billion will go back into the economy. People will be paid on time. Our credit rating will be dramatically improved. We will then have a balanced budget with virtually no growth for the next 4 years.
Although the Senate president was the only Democratic leader to explain the plan in detail to the media, he says Governor Pat Quinn and House Speaker Mike Madigan are on board. Quinn's office wouldn't give confirmation, but issued a statement saying the governor has been working on a framework to stabilize the budget and strengthen Illinois' economy, and that discussions with legislators have been productive and are ongoing.
I mean, I often said during the election that I gave Governor Quinn credit for running on what he believes in, which is a 1% increase. This is more than double that. To me, that's kind of a bait and a switch. And I think it's wrong, and it's wrong to do it in a lame duck session.
That's the Senate's top Republican, Christine Redonio. Quinn himself will be sworn in Monday. Sitting legislators have until Wednesday to get the plan to the governor, or they'll have a harder time getting the measure through as more Republicans will take office. Democrats aren't likely to get help from the GOP. Here's Senate Republican Dale Ryder of Mattoon.
The notion that you're going to hit working families with a 75% tax increase and make it even harder for them to make ends meet, to save for their child's higher education or to put the roof on their house or things like that. That is incredibly inappropriate at this time.
But in the Senate, Democrats have enough of a majority that they don't need the GOP to get an income tax through. They passed one successfully already in 2009. It's in the House where support has been lacking. Earlier this week, Speaker Madigan continued to maintain a hike wouldn't succeed without some Republican votes. But he also criticized the party, saying he doesn't expect the GOP will get involved.
They're continuing on a campaign plan, which means they're not participating in governmental decisions. They're just on the sidelines. They're taking the position the Democrats control the government, but the Democrats solve all the problems.
So the House may be the linchpin. Republicans and conservative Democrats have argued Illinois has to make major reforms and spending cuts before raising taxes. Many admit that's begun. A revamp of the state's Medicaid health care program is expected to produce big-time savings. That's on its way to the governor's desk. Other proposals would limit spending. At the urging of Republicans, Democrats are even helping to advance workers' compensation changes that the business community says will make the state more competitive. But few in the GOP are ready to talk tax hike, and certainly not at the levels Democrats are pushing. That could force the party that has had a stronghold on state government to go it alone and face the criticism from residents this plan is likely to generate. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
It's 12:47. Consumer advocates are praising the appointment of Holly Petraeus to create and lead the Service Member Affairs, an arm of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Holly Petraeus is the wife of General David Petraeus, the U.S. commander in Afghanistan. More from NPR's Wendy Kaufman.
Holly Petraeus has been tireless in her efforts to protect members of the military from predatory lending and other abusive practices. For the past 6 years, she's been working on behalf of service members at the Better Business Bureau, and she knows what she's talking about. She said she and her husband were themselves easy prey as a young Army couple.
We made some of the rookie financial mistakes that I counsel people against today, buying the expensive sports car, signing an apartment rental contract sight unseen based on a slick brochure, putting money into a questionable investment opportunity without doing any serious research simply because it promised great returns.
They were lucky, she continued. It wasn't as easy to get into big financial trouble back then. Today, members of the military are often aggressively targeted by those offering high interest rate payday loans and too good to be true deals on cars. The new Office of Service Member Affairs will try to detect the latest abuses and stop them. Mike Calhoun, president of the Center for Responsible Lending, says Petraeus is the perfect individual to set up the office. He cites her knowledge and commitment. He adds the country will benefit when service members are on sound financial footing.
A service member who's worrying about whether their family can pay their bills or being harassed by creditors just can't function effectively.
And if their financial troubles become acute, they can lose their security clearance and won't be able to do the jobs they've been trained to do. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News.
Hi, I'm Jeff Bossert.
I'm Tom Rogers.
I'm Celeste Quinn.
And I'm David Inge. You listen to us on WILL Radio and TV, and now we want to listen to you. Every month, we're out in the community having conversations about your hopes and challenges. What we hear impacts the programs we produce and the content we create. If you'd like us to have a community conversation in your town, give us a call at 217-333-7300 or email willconnect@illinois.edu.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 7th of January, 2011. It's the birthday of the man most responsible for reviving Hebrew as a spoken language, Eliezer ben Yehuda, born in Lushki, part of the Russian Empire, 1858, who wanted to make sure that Jews from around the world could communicate with each other. Children from Jewish families in his time often learned some Hebrew at Hebrew school, but at the time no one on earth spoke modern Hebrew at home as a first language. Many European Jews spoke Russian or Yiddish, a Germanic language written in the Hebrew alphabet. Ben Yehuda felt that reviving Hebrew was intertwined with the idea of a Jewish homeland.